that you have given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, that he died for our sins, that he was resurrected, and then that he ascended into heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see how that relates to us today and how that can help us become a blessing to other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was sitting there, I began to think about illustrations. And, you know, I was telling my wife that I don't illustrate very well. I teach a lot of, like I was telling Donna, say, all cerebral facts, principles, truth, those things, and I don't give enough illustrations. And they've been pouring into my mind about this situation. And I thought about how Jesus, when he came, it was almost like when they build a bridge across a chasm. They take a bow and arrow, and they tie a string, and they shoot that arrow to the other side. Then someone on that side gets another something, ties it on that string as they pull it back. And as they keep on pulling, more and more strings come across until you can actually build a bridge. Well, that's not quite the illustration, but it's sort of like that of Jesus. If you can think about heaven reaching down into earth through Christ, becoming one of us, becoming incarnate. And then what happens is he goes back to heaven so that he can take all of these other like ties and connections and bring them all back up through him to heaven. So you had one connection going down and back going up. Jesus takes all of these connections to this planet so he can continue to do his work. That illustration came to my mind while I was talking. It was not a part of my sermon. But the illustration that I really wanted to share, and I have to say, first of all, that Terry did not read verse 12 of my passage. You forgot. Oh, well. And that was so that I could emphasize it now. And I just say, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then, and only then, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. They went back to Jerusalem to get busy with the work he had assigned them to do. And that's an important part of this whole thing. It's not just about the ascension. What does the ascension mean for us? Suppose you were a poor person, didn't have any money, maybe you're a bum on the street, and this millionaire comes up to you and said, I want to have you run a little errand for me, and I'll give you this much money. And you go do the errand, and they pay you and say, you know, you're faithful in that task. I would like to make you my representative here. I'm going to put $1 million in this bank account here, and I'm going to put your name on the check book so that you can sign my check. I'm going overseas. When I get back, I want you, while I'm gone, to do all the business down here. You can write all the checks. I'll give you instructions and so on. But I'm going to be gone when I get back. We'll see what happens. Now, how would you handle that obligation? Would you make sure you knew the history of that businessman, a little bit of that investor's background, maybe his business plans or his business practices? Would you stay in touch with him? Would you stay in touch with that investor and seek his guidance about transactions? Would you be afraid that your checks that you wrote on that account might bounce? And so you wouldn't be writing checks, so you'd be sort of afraid. Or would you think that investor, he might not come back? And look at this account I've got. What can I do with $1 million? those are questions that might go through people's minds. But we have a deposit in the bank of heaven. My title of my message, Our Deposit in the Bank of Heaven. Jesus is the investor, but the deposit is he himself. He has deposited himself in heaven, and under his authority, We are to draw upon the resources, his resources in heaven, for his ongoing business here on the earth. And his business plan is to rule the world. His business plan is to reign as king. And his Holy Spirit can guide us in how to invest the resources that we're supposed to do while we're here until he gets back. Until that day, Christian faith, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have the authority of heaven on earth. How does that happen? Well, what makes our earthly deposit in heaven valid? Because it's an earthly deposit. Jesus can do business on earth from heaven because he is a true citizen of earth. You see, he's a true citizen of earth now. And yet he lives in heaven, where he originally came from. And we've seen this verse again and again. The Word became flesh. John 1:14. The Word, which is talking about Christ, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God invested his Son in the human business of this world. And through him, we have access to an overflowing abundance of grace and truth. Because Jesus is full of it. He's full of grace and truth. And he wants us to have access to it and to use it for earthly purposes right from the throne of heaven in that connection we have with him. And what makes this earthly deposit so valid? Well, God made our deposit in heaven with acceptable currency. He made it with acceptable currency. At the ascension, Jesus returned to heaven and was accepted. The very fact that he was received up into heaven, he was received. He was received up into heaven. In other words, he was accepted up into heaven. His currency. And what it was when he returned to heaven, he returned with a resurrected physical human body. That is the deposit on all of our resurrections, if you want to think about it that way. His eternal humanity, not just temporary, but his eternal humanity is now earth's currency. Is earth's currency in heaven for God's will and his work in our lives. Jesus himself was the answer to the prayer that he taught us. What was that prayer? It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, he did that. Jesus did the will of God on earth as it was supposed to be done from heaven. That's what he came for. He came to do God's will. He says, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O Lord." He was the answer to that prayer. But now that he's in heaven, when we pray that prayer, he wants us to live it like he did. He wants us to live that prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why should Christians celebrate the ascension? Why should we celebrate it? Because it's the anniversary date of God's acceptance of his Son and his Son's payment for our sins and also the redeeming of all creation. The redeeming of everything. It says in the Bible that the Son came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, why doesn't it say the people that were lost, the sinners that were lost? No, it's a neuter term, and it covers everything. He came to say everything that was lost, the whole ball of wax, everything, and that included all of creation. Well, Christ's deposit of himself in the bank of heaven is our contact point, as I use that other illustration, our contact point with the resources of heaven. We have a human in heaven that's connected to us, and by faith in Jesus, we have God's authority, the authority of heaven on this earth, the authority of heaven on earth for doing the business of God's kingdom. Well, what hinders us then? What hinders us from drawing upon this account? Well, perhaps we're having some cloudy thinking. I think that happens in the church a lot. We get used to hearing only one way of looking at things. We hear it year after year, and if something comes that's new, we say, oh, that can't be right. And yet it's right out of the Word of God. He said after he said this in verse 9, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Sometimes we have cloudy thinking. With the investor, with Jesus, the investor now physically absent, we're left holding a checkbook. That's all we got. We got a checkbook that he left us with, a checkbook of faith. And we are much like those three servants that Jesus told the parable about in Matthew 25. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. That sounds like what Jesus did, and it sounds like putting a deposit, right? Putting some stuff on deposit. Well, one of the servants had cloudy thinking and failed to get busy with those funds or that talent that he had. But the other two had a clear picture of their duty to invest the resources that had been committed to their responsibility. Let's be like the two and not the one that did not invest in this world, as Christ wants us to invest himself in this world. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, perhaps there's another reason why we don't draw upon the account of heaven, the bank account where our deposit is, because we fail to see that God wants us to be the interveners or the investors now. Sometimes we're looking for divine intervention. Oh, God, you just do it. And our prayers are prayed that way many times. You know, one of the things I said to the young people, Rich was talking about this talk I did for the young people over at Arcade. And what I said was, one of Jesus' simplest prayers when he was praying against demons, he just said one word, go. Go. Like that. And they went. And many times we don't pray that way. Many times we don't pray, be healed. We say, God, please heal them. And God said, well, you make the investment. You have Jesus within you. You heal them. And I said, well, we can't heal. Only you can heal. He says, I've given you my power. Heal them. And it says in the Bible that when he sent the disciples out, they healed. So we got our language a little bit stilted from maybe a lack of faith. Maybe that's why we don't draw from the account enough and invest in this world. Well, perhaps we need a messenger to come and say what they said to the disciples. They said to exhort them to get to work. Suddenly, 2 men dressed in white, these were angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Why are you standing around looking up into the sky? Now, God wants us to be ready for his return, for Christ's second coming. But he wants us to prepare for Christ's return, not by staring up into the sky. We're to be busy servants, blessing our world, blessing our environment, blessing our neighbors, blessing our neighborhood. Make me a blessing is what we're saying, right? God wants us to be that blessing to this planet and to its inhabitants. He wants us to bless by investing Christ's power and his light into this earth from heaven's resources. We have access to the account. All we need to do is to write a check of faith every time we pray, every time we bless people. And really, we need to do a lot more of this blessing. Many times we do cursing instead. Look at how they're acting. Ooh. Well, look how they can act if they follow Jesus. You know, have a different, change it around. Change a different attitude. Well, what is this divine investment plan? What does it look like? What does God have for us? Well, in verse 11 and 12, it says, the disciples, they were acting upon the message that the angel gave to them. Angels gave to them. This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's journey from the city. They stopped staring and they started preparing. They started preparing for the kingdom work that they were supposed to do, that they were commissioned to by Jesus, by going back to Jerusalem and waiting for Pentecost. Praying and waiting for Pentecost, which is coming up pretty soon, isn't it? Okay, the season of Pentecost. Well, another part of that plan, God's primary area of investment is in people, isn't it? His primary area. It's not his total area. Did you know he blesses those flowers? Those flowers that Anne was talking about, and the beauty of nature, God is still concerned about his creation. He still has his hand on creation. We sing that all the time in a lot of our hymns, but we need to see it when we get out in creation. And you might even say to a flower, "Boy, thank you for blessing me, and bless you for blessing me." And maybe they'll just stick their little petals out. Wow! You know, they found that if people talk to flowers when they're growing them, they do grow better. But if they do not talk to them very nicely, they don't. So don't talk bad to your flowers. And don't talk bad to people. And don't talk bad to rooms and environments and cars. And I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else. So I'm preaching to myself as well here. But God's main area of concern for our investment is in people. I think you remember, everybody's seen It's a Wonderful Life. How many times have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? With James Stewart and Donna Reed, and just a wonderful story. Well, in the scene when the Depression hit, and the people were on a run to get their money out of the building and loan association that George Bailey was running for his dad's business, George Bailey was trying to get them to understand. And here's what he said, because I got it off the script. I got it off the internet. There was just right from the script. "No, you're thinking of this place all wrong. As if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Your money is in Joe's house, right next to yours, and in the Kennedy house, and Miss McLachlan's house, and 100 others." You know, sometimes focusing on our own wants or our own needs gets us to forget where Jesus wanted us to make our investment. He wanted to make our investment in people. That's why we're here. It says in Matthew, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And we're going to come back to this again and again, because this message, when I started preaching it, I was reading a book that was filled with the idea that we are to be a blessing of light to the world. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We are to be light. God's investment is in humanity, but it's also an investment in creation, as I was sharing. When Jesus said, "The world, you are the light of the world," that word "world" is the word, literally, the word cosmos. It's the created order. It is the universe. It is the physical creation. It is everything. You are the light of the world. And we're going to talk more about that, but when it says, "God so loved the world," it's the same word. If God so loved the universe, wait a minute. He so loved the universe that he gave Jesus so that people would believe in him. People. Well, isn't that he's talking about the world of people? No. It's talking about that which was lost, the whole thing, people included. But people are the leaders. We're the ones. We're the ones that can be the connecting point. It's not flowers that are going to bless the way that Jesus wants to bless the planet. They're not going to bring creation to God's glory. It's going to be humans. And maybe a flower can speak to a person's heart to see the beauty of God, but it can't give them the gospel. It can't tell them the gospel. We have to bless people with Jesus. We have to bless them with Jesus. God so loved the world, the cosmos, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's perfect will for the cosmos began in the Garden of Eden, and it was never fulfilled there. It will be fulfilled when Jesus comes back. It won't be fulfilled until then. But in the meantime, until the ascended Christ descends again, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's not just a prayer to pray. That is an investment to make in people's lives and in the place where this cosmic dust is, this planet called Earth, over which God gave us stewardship originally and continues it. We still have that stewardship. But our first focus is people. How can we bless people? And we're going to talk more about that. But in our faith in Christ, we have the power, we have the authority of heaven on earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our obligation now to be a part of that prayer in our lives. And so we have to stand in that authority. We have to be connected to that light so that we can bless people and we can bless this world with the light and the power of God and His salvation in Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ, we have the authority, the power of faith on earth. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for ascending and being received into heaven to become our deposit in the bank of heaven for us to draw upon. Lord, help us to know through the Holy Spirit's enlightenment how we are to write our checks, how we are to draw upon that account, how we are to be vessels of light for this world and for the people of this world, so that we can share Your power, Your light, Your love to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a real prayer then, isn't it? The chorus of Make Me a Blessing on page 44. That is a real prayer for us to pray, isn't it? Make me a blessing. Let's all stand and sing it as we close.
Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my heart. Blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.